Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the truth contained in your word. We thank you for the way you've blessed this service thus far. And we ask even now, as we saw your power displayed early this morning with thunder and lightning, that we would experience more of your power now as your Holy Spirit indwells the believers in your house and also descends upon this sanctuary. Have your perfect way, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, hey, folks, in our world today, most of us have been exposed to more than our fair share of men behaving badly. We saw yet another example of that this week in South Carolina at the church. Now, there are far less of us who have been exposed to men that behave in a godly and biblical manner. I think all of us could agree that what this world needs is not more men behaving badly, but rather more men behaving in a godly way. And that brings us to the title of our message for today, which is Becoming a Godly Man. Now, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6, it asks a pretty sobering question. It says, but a faithful man, who can find? See, if there was ever a day when this world needed more faithful men, today is that day. Now, this message this morning is directed at our guys. Now, ladies, I don't mean to exclude you, but since it is Father's Day, I figured that none of you would mind if I spent one day trying to help your husband, trying to help your boyfriend, you younger ladies, trying to help your dads, your sons, and even your pastor shape up a little bit. See, the men of America need a wake-up call. We need to realize that godly men are in short supply. And if our families and even our nation are going to survive, then they need to be directed by godly husbands and fathers. It is high time that men stop behaving badly and started behaving godly. It's no secret that the family is the building block of all social structures. There is an old saying that goes, as the family goes, so goes society. And I want to complete that statement this morning by saying, as men go, so goes the family. See, guys, whether you realize it or not, whether you like it or not, your family is going to follow where you lead. And when men are fulfilling their God-given assignments as the spiritual leaders in their homes, then more homes are going to be stable, secure, and satisfying. By the same token, when families crumble and fall apart, it's most often the result of men who are failing in their God-given roles as spiritual leaders in the home. William Raspberry, an African-American columnist with the Washington Post, said this, if I could offer a single prescription for the survival of America, particularly Black America, it would be restore the family. And if you asked me how to do it, my answer would be save the boys. You see, when men behave badly, society suffers, folks. And when men behave as God intended them to behave, society is strengthened. Now, we're going to be looking at Psalm 112 today. It is one of many passages of Scripture that speaks directly to the issue of what makes a man a godly man. This psalm was written by none other than King David. David, he was a manly man. When he was a young fella, he killed a giant and chopped his head off. This guy was a warrior. But David was more than a warrior. He was also a family man. He had the responsibility of a wife and many children. Matter of fact, David had the responsibility of many wives. That caused a great deal of hardship in his life. If there's one area where David did not excel, it's how he did with his family, with his wives and his kids. David was also an extremely spiritual man. He had great responsibilities. He was a king. But he also wrote psalms of praise. He wrote many hymns praising the Lord. We're told in Scripture that he even danced before the Lord. King David could probably relate to just about every man in this sanctuary today because he didn't start off as a king. He came from very humble beginnings. He experienced everything that you experience as a man, and he usually excelled in just about everything he tried. So he can relate to us, and most of us can probably relate to him in one form or fashion. Now listen to what David says are the characteristics of a godly man as we look at Psalm 12. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. That gets to the root of problem for most of us right there. Because most men do not have a healthy fear of God. Most men today do not find great delight in God's commands. When a man really fears God, when a man really loves God's word and delights in God's commands, that man is well on his way to godliness. His life is going to be productive and successful. I want to share with you some of the promises that are contained in this psalm for the man who does fear God and who does delight in his commands. Look at these promises. Verse 2, there's the promise concerning that man's children. That verse says, his children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. That's a beautiful promise, folks. Verses 3 and 4, there's the promise concerning this man's character. Those verses say that wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in the darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate man. Another wonderful promise. Verse 5, we've got a promise concerning this man's conduct. It says, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely and who conducts his affairs with justice. Folks, in verses 6 through 8, we have a promise telling this man that he can be confident that God will bless him. Listen to this. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. And finally, in verse 9, this man is promised blessings because of his charity to others. That verse says, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever, and his horn will be lifted high in honor. In the scriptures, when you see the word horn mentioned, that's a symbol of power and strength, okay? And just like the godly man's righteousness, God's blessings upon that man will endure forever. Now, folks, these are the characteristics of a godly man, so let me ask you men today, how many of you would like to be a man like this that we see described in Psalm 112? I know I would. But the truth is, a man like that's hard to find today, even in the church. But by relying on the grace of God, by getting to know him better through his word, we can grow in these characteristics that make men godly. And I'm going to share with you three specific points today that will help us to become Psalm 112 kind of men. So listen carefully as I describe to you what it takes to become a godly man, and specifically to be the kind of man that will provide godly leadership to your family. Point number one, fellas, you want to be a godly man? You have to acknowledge the power of your influence. I'm speaking specifically to you that are husbands and fathers today. See, as a husband, you have a tremendous influence over your wife. In addition to your wife's relationship with God, her happiness and emotional security rest almost entirely upon you. This is what the Bible's talking about in Ephesians 5:23 when it says, the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Fellas, listen to me. Being the head of your wife does not mean that you're her boss or her taskmaster. It does not mean you have the right to rule over her like some kind of a tyrant. It means you have the responsibility for her well-being. It's your job to provide her with security and satisfaction. God has built you as a man to be an initiator, and he has built your wife to be a responder. She is going to respond to you according to how you treat her. And when you love her in the same way Christ loved the church, she will be secure, and she will be satisfied, and she will be happy. Richard Halverson, a man who was the chaplain for the United States Senate for years and years, long time ago, he said this: "After 42 years of marriage, it is my deep and settled conviction that 100% of the responsibility for the sustenance of the marriage relationship belongs to the husband." Guys, the scriptures tell us that as husbands, we need to model ourselves after Jesus Christ, who gave himself up in every way to present his bride, which is the church, to himself without blemish, stain, spot, or wrinkle. Guys, acknowledge the power of the influence you have with your wife. In the same way, recognize the influence you have with your kids. See, in spite of what this fallen world may say, despite the way men are portrayed as idiots and buffoons on TV shows today, I'm telling you, dads, your children need you desperately. Let me share a few statistics with you that should knock you right out of your seats. This pertains to children who grow up without a father in the home. What do you think happens to young ladies that grow up without dads in the home? Let me tell you, these girls are 53% more likely to marry as teenagers. They're 111% more likely to have children as teenagers. They are 164% more likely to have children out of wedlock. They have a 92% higher risk of divorce than girls who have dads at home. That's a wake-up call, folks. Look at that. A girl without a dad in the home is 164% more likely to have a child outside of marriage. Hey, I'm going to call it like it is. We got an epidemic today of moms, these young ladies, having kids all over the place and no dad around to help provide for them. And then we wonder why society's so jacked up. It's because we're making it that way. And it's predominantly the dad's fault. What about our boys? Boys who grow up without a dad in the home are twice as likely to drop out of high school, 35% more likely to experience marital failure. Now get this one. Boys that grow up with no dad in the house, 300% more likely to be incarcerated in juvenile institutions. Right now in America, 70% of all incarcerated kids, they're boys who don't have dads at home. 80% of all kids who have psychiatric problems, 80% of them are children, boys, who don't have dads in the home. That's a wake-up call. But you know what? What do? We glamorize this stuff today. The Bible says that it's wrong and it shouldn't be that way. Guys, we got to stand up and be the husbands and fathers we've been called to be. This country's going down the drain and it's our fault. In his book entitled Five Lies, Christian author David Moore says, "From relationships to education, to mental instability to crime, one factor looms as the most significant contributor: a home without a dad." See, when men behave badly, they not only wreck their own lives, they wreck the lives of their children. We need to realize as fathers what a powerful influence we have on our kids. Now, that's just the first point. Acknowledge the influence that you have. Point number two, avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. Whether you realize it or not, there are many pitfalls that come along with being a man, and most of them are self-induced. We need to realize the hazards that come along with being a man. See, the way we're built is fallen sons of Adam. It works against us because we do not possess a natural tendency to lean toward godliness. Quite the opposite is true of us. We're naturally bent toward sinfulness and selfishness. And I'm going to give you six pitfalls you need to avoid if you want to be a godly man. And to try to make it easy for you to remember, every single one of these pitfalls starts with the letter A. The first pitfall you have to avoid is arrogance. Somebody, I presume a woman, said that men are 90% ego wrapped in skin. See, as men, we've got our own unique version of pride and arrogance. We have this ego-driven mentality. Most men, they think that they're a combination of John Rambo, Brad Pitt, and Albert Einstein all rolled up into one. Ladies, would you agree with me here that if you could buy a man for what he's actually worth and then turn around and sell him for what he thinks he's worth, you would make a pretty tidy profit? Our arrogance and our pride, guys, they're responsible for most of the mistakes we make as husbands and fathers. The second pitfall of our masculinity is being autocratic. Now, I know that's kind of a strange word. Let me tell you what it means. I had to come up with something that started with A. Autocratic means you like to boss everybody around and tell them what to do. It's truly unfortunate, but we've got men who claim to be Christians, and they act just like this at home. They misinterpret the passages of Scripture that talk about the man being the head of his family to mean that he's the boss. So the man runs around his house stomping around like some kind of tyrant or dictator. These men forget to read those passages in their context. In Ephesians 5, where we're told that the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, we're also told that that same man is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Fellas, if you're being autocratic and dictatorial, demanding and controlling in your home, you're heading for serious trouble. I promise you, your kids will rebel against that, and your wife is going to be driven away from you. The third pitfall, and one of the most serious, is absentee husbands and fathers. You've seen from the statistics that I gave you just a little bit ago that the worst thing a man can do is walk out on his family. It causes more pain and destruction than anything else he can do. Dr. David Elking, a doctor who specializes in treating children with mental disorders, says we see more kids who show symptoms today of stress, headaches, stomach aches, depression, and learning problems than ever before. As they get older, many of them feel they've missed an important part of their life. They feel used and abused. And as a doctor, my concern is if they don't feel cared about, how will they ever care about anybody else? We are creating a large number of children who are emotional misfits. Guys, your kids need a dad who is willing to invest time in their lives to let them know they're loved and appreciated. They need dads that will model the godly principles of the Bible by the way they live. We've got to set better examples for our kids. They need reassurance, they need love, and they need discipline. When I read this next thing, it almost made me cry. And I don't cry easy. A recent NBC poll discovered that by the time a child is 6 years old, they have spent more time watching TV than they will spend talking to their own father in their entire life. Folks, that's a crying shame. We've got to change that while we still have time to do it. Now, the fourth pitfall we need to avoid as men is being abusive husbands and fathers. The rate of men who are abusing their wives and kids is higher than it's ever been. Let me tell you something. And if any of you guys have an issue with this, please stick around and talk to me after the service. I'll be real happy to have a conversation with you about this. A real man never, and I mean never, abuses his wife or his kids. Men, if you are physically abusive, I'm going to tell you straight from this pulpit, you are not a man. You are a worthless coward who's trying to show off how powerful you are by victimizing somebody who's physically weaker than you are. But you know, you don't have to be using your fist or inflicting any physical pain to be abusive. You can be guilty of abusing your family by the way you talk to them, by the way you berate them, by the way you try to control and manipulate them and dominate their lives and oppress them. If you're one of these fellas who is so controlling, you got to call your wife 12 times while she's at the grocery store to make sure she's where she says she is. Man, you got to get that under control. You are pushing her away and you will lose her. Real men do not abuse their wives and their kids. They love them. They provide for them and they protect them above all things. The fifth pitfall we need to avoid is men. This is another funny word, but it starts with A. We have to avoid being aloof. Now, aloof means emotionally distant. It means to be cold and unaffectionate. Guys are not usually very relational by nature. Most of us are kind of loners. We want to do our own thing. That's why we've got to fight against our natural inclinations and let God help us to become something other than what our nature wants us to be. See, you may not realize it, but a lot of times your wife and your kids, they see that silence, that emotional distance as rejection. And let me tell you a little secret, fellas. Many of your wives and your kids are starving for affection. They're starving for your approval. If it's been a while since you've put your arms around your wife, whispered in her ear that you love her, I encourage you to do that today and then keep on doing it. If it's been a while since you put your arms around your kids, hugged them and kissed them and told them that you love them and that you're proud of them, do it today and then keep on doing it. Our families need ongoing approval. They need ongoing love. They need to know that we're here for them. If you try that, you might be amazed at how much it improves your relationship. Now, the final pitfall that we need to avoid, fellas, and this is a big one, is anger. I'm telling you the truth. A lot of our wives, even in this sanctuary, are married to angry men. A lot of our kids are being raised by angry dads, and you know, the thing is, most of us don't even know what we're angry about. Our anger is often revealed through bad tempers, through hostile and hateful words, through bitter and negative attitudes. Anger is an extremely destructive force, and if you can't master it, it may very well cost you your wife and your kids. At the very least, it's going to have a terribly negative effect on your relationships with them. If you truly desire to become a godly man, these are six pitfalls you got to avoid, guys. And that brings us to our third and final point regarding becoming a godly man. Guys, you've got to arrange the priorities of your life. Now, some of us know that our priorities are all messed up, but we don't know what to do about it. Look back at Psalm 112. The first three verses, they give us a perfect model to follow when it comes to arranging our priorities. Verse 1, it speaks about a man's relationship to God. That's what comes first. Verse 2, it speaks about a man's relationship with his family. That comes second. And then finally, verse 3 talks about a man's relationship with himself. That is building his inner life, his character. And that's the order we need to follow when we prioritize our lives. A man's first priority has to be his relationship with God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus tells the church at Ephesus that he wants to be their first love. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you." Guys, is Jesus your first love? Do you think about him more than you think about your job? Or what you're going to do as soon as I quit preaching and you get to leave? Do you give Jesus the first place with your time? Do you give him the first place with your finances? Are you able to talk about Jesus as naturally as you talk about weather and sports? If the answer is no, you might want to reevaluate them priorities. Now, Your highest priority after your relationship with God has to be your relationship with your family. And a lot of us are failing miserably in that area. We're failing to meet the needs of our wives. We're failing to spend enough time with our kids. We're failing to communicate godly values and spiritual truths in our homes. We're not leading our families the way God intended. Guys, we got to realize that there's no career, there's no amount of money that's worth losing your marriage or your family. And finally, a man's third priority is his relationship to himself. Now, what that means is this is not some Sigmund Freud psychobabble. This is biblical truth. Your relationship with yourself, that's talking about developing inner character and personal righteousness. This is taking an honest self-evaluation, confessing your faults, your sins, and your weaknesses to God, and asking him to help you do better and grow in character and righteousness. That's what Psalm 12 is talking about here. Look at the words used to describe this godly man. These verses tell us that he is righteous, he's gracious and compassionate, he's generous in giving, he's just and he's fair. He trusts in God, that means he has faith, and he will never be shaken. That means this man is reliable as well as fearless. If you want to be a godly man, you got to have your priorities straight. Being a rich husband and a father is not nearly as important as being a righteous husband and father. If your desire, men, is to be a godly man, I've just given you 3 points that'll get you going in the right direction. Acknowledge your power and influence. Avoid the pitfalls of your masculinity. And arrange the priorities of your life. If you make a commitment to improving in these areas, you're well on your way to allowing God to build you into the man he wants you to be. And as I conclude, I'd like to quote the Apostle James. Now, all of you fellas have heard this. Let us be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, if there's any man in here today that does not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, you ain't going to be able to do any of this till you get right with that, okay? If there has never been a time when you have confessed to God that you're a sinner who needs a Savior, I encourage you to do it today. All you have to do is pray a simple prayer of faith, very similar to this. Let's all bow. If you need to pray this prayer, please pray it with me. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. My Lord and Heavenly Father, I have heard your biblical truth today. I realize that I am a sinner. I need a Savior. I have no hope of making it to heaven by my own works. But God, I believe that your Son Jesus died on the cross to pay my sin debt in full. I put my faith and trust in his finished work on the cross. I invite him into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, please save me. I will never be ashamed of you, Jesus. I will live the rest of my life for you. Help me to be the godly man that you have called me to be. In your name I pray. Amen. God bless y'all. Happy Father's Day.